Hi, and welcome to the Calm Birth Conversation Podcast. Join Karen McClay, midwife and director of Calm Birth, in conversation with experts and parents around pregnancy, birth and parenting. The aim is to help you make informed choices and decisions around your own personal journey into parenthood. This podcast is brought to you by Calm Birth, Australia's leading childbirth education program. And here is your host, Karen McClay.
Hi everyone and welcome. It's Karen McClay here. And I'm really looking forward to today's episode, where I will be talking with Dr. Marina Wickend. Marina is a midwife based in Perth, Western Australia, where she currently works as a postdoctoral researcher and lecturer. She has 14 years' experience working as a midwife clinically and independently, and also in midwifery education and health research. She's practiced in Germany, UK, and Australia. In 2023, Marina completed her postdoctoral research on the topic of natural pauses during childbirth. Natural pauses during labour and birth, also called physiological plateaus, are a healthy fluctuation of the labour rhythm, but remain at high risk of being misinterpreted as being pathological and something to be fixed, rather than being seen as normal and something to be worked with. Marina continues researching these natural pauses during birth to help maternity care move away from time-based approaches to supporting women in labour and birth. So, hi and welcome, Marina.
Thank you so much, Karen, for having me. I'm really excited about sharing these things with women who are listening to the podcast.
I'm really looking forward to today's conversation about your work on natural pauses in labour. And what I'm really interested in to start out with is what made you interested in really studying this and having a look at it closer?
I may start out with this research really two different reasons. I think for every researcher, it's a bit of a personal story behind research. And then, of course, our professional experiences that we make. So personally, as a midwifery student already, I've seen a lot of women who I felt were rushed through labor unnecessarily, and there was always a lot of time pressure involved. And even when I worked as a midwife and even later as a midwifery researcher, I still feel and see that happening all the time. So my personal motivation to look at slow and pausing labor was really to see if it's not just perfectly normal and healthy to have those pauses during labor and whether there's really a need for us to rush so much. Professionally, of course, there is this big issue globally where we have the cesarean section rates and intervention rates in labor and in childbirth rising in so many countries across the globe, really. And we know that once we start intervening in labor, we have those things called intervention cascades. So we have one intervention falling to another, like a domino effect. And this sometimes leads to, for example, cesarean sections that are preventable. So about half of the cesareans we do, we probably don't need them. And a good deal of that is due to a diagnosis of too slow labor, so-called too slow labor. So I wanted to look at that to see if we can't prevent unnecessary interventions by redefining what is slow, what is too slow, and whether it's normal.
Which is I think, something that all of us midwives are very, very mindful of and very sort of interested in our own practices. A lot of times where we've had scenarios where we've been looking after women where we've felt that if they just had just that little bit more time and that pause perhaps wasn't showing anything abnormal, maybe it was just their body resting, that maybe the interventions and the outcome of their birth may have been different. And I'm sure there's women too and birthing people who have also questioned that after their births too. So I think it's important, the work that you're doing, so that we do have that data there to normalize the normality and the different journeys that women go on in birth. So tell me, with these natural pauses, what actually are they? Because they're also called officially like physiological plateaus, or that's what you're calling them in your research, which I really love that terminology, thinking of it as just a plateau, just a rest state. What actually are they? And when do we tend to see them in a person's labour?
Thanks a lot. Really important thing to look at the beginning. So what we call physiological plateau or natural pause is when labor at any point really slows down or pauses and stops entirely. So that can be things like the pattern of surges that the woman experiences. Maybe they're really frequent and intense and then they become less intense or even disappear entirely. But it can also relate to things like the opening of the womb, which we call cervical dilation. And it can relate to things like behavioral pattern, because as midwives, we see different behavioral stages that women go through, like phases of labor. And sometimes there can be a slowdown in that that as well. So it's not just about the pattern of surges. So any of these things that slow down during labor, whether it's in the beginning or in the middle or at the end, and when there's no sign of any pathology, anything abnormal for the mom or for the baby, then that's what we call a natural pause. And the interesting thing about those natural pauses is it's really exciting that the labor just starts naturally again. So we don't do anything, we don't need to do anything, and very importantly, the woman and her partner don't need to do anything. Just naturally, the body will restart labor when it's ready. So there's something really important happening during these pauses. And you asked about the terms as well, and this is an important one. So I would prefer if women told us what they want to call these pauses, because as medical professionals, we are really bad at choosing terms. We shouldn't be the ones doing these decisions. And we've had, you know, really bad decisions in the past with some terms that we use still today. So we're currently researching it and asking women about their preferred terms. So right now we say natural pause or physiological plateaus, but a lot of people use different terms because it's not really officially recognized. So we're still in the phase of finding a good name for that.
No, that sounds great. And tell me, what do you think the purpose of these pauses are? I know that certainly you can look, it's very individual to each woman, because, you know, as a lot of us who work with women in that space regularly know that there's many different things that come into play that can cause one of these natural pauses to come in place. But what are some of the things that you feel, and maybe perhaps got a gist of with the research that you're doing, are the reasons behind these pauses?
I love how you say it's very individual, because that's really absolutely spot on. And I love how you say what's the purpose, because there is a purpose, and that's the most important thing maybe to start with. It's not an error, it's not a mistake of nature, it's not a delay that we need to address. It's just there's a purpose in it. And it seems from the research that we've done so far, and also the research that we've had a look at that other people did, that there's some regulatory mechanisms happening. So mom and baby are closely connected in labor, not just the bodies, but also the minds, and you might say spiritually as well. And sometimes one of them, either baby or mom, need a break. For example, they need a rest because it's been going on for a long time, and maybe the mother's body needs to recharge, and then the body will make a pause, so the surges will go away. And sometimes it's the baby, so maybe the baby's in a position where it feels it wants to change the position. But then when you have the surges coming on regularly, it's like a really tight hug for the baby, you know, it's really tightly hugged all the time, and it can't really change the position when it's having these surges all the time. So the body might decide, like the baby's giving a signal to the mom's body, and that's what we think at the moment, and then the mom's body is stopping or slowing down the surges, and then the baby is in a womb that is more relaxed around it. It can start moving around and changing, maybe tilting its head or even doing a somersault if necessary, you know. So all these things that are happening during pauses seem to be some sort of adaptation to the process of birth, to make sure that mom and baby are healthy and well throughout the entire process.
And do you feel too, Marina, and this is something that I see a lot in my practice too, is a sense of safety is really important there too, isn't it? Because our bodies only like to birth our babies when that space is safe. So if a woman at any point is feeling unsafe, then labor is going to naturally back off because it doesn't want to bring a baby into an unsafe place. And also, I think not just the safety, but also time of day, which also kind of feeds into that safety message as well. We know a lot of women have a tendency to go in overnight, and in that early labor phase, as the sun comes up, things can kind of settle down and pause for a while as that natural cortisol, which is a stress hormone, comes up naturally in the day as well. I think there's a psychology behind these pauses as well as a physiology behind it too. Would you agree with that, Marina, do you think?
Yes, absolutely. What I usually do is I try to put it in like four different groups why these pauses happen. And all of these reasons are, you know, natural, physiological. So we have the mom's mind, for example, and that's probably the biggest reason, you know, just what you said, feeling safe, feeling secure is incredibly important. And feeling like you're able to let go of all the concerns or anything or thoughts you might having, any attempts to control the process. So things like that, we usually call it letting go or being in the zone. That is important for labor to proceed naturally and for the rhythm to establish itself. So when women have worries or fears, you know, that can cause pauses. We have body signs as well. So for example, when the woman's body is needing energy, that might be sleep, but can also be things like food or drink, because a lot of women, you know, they go into labor, they didn't really drink or eat a lot, and then the body's just used using up a lot of energy, so eventually it will need to recharge again. And then we have the baby's reasons, what I mentioned before, maybe the position. Sometimes funny things as well, like maybe the baby's having a short cord, or the cord is a couple times around the neck, so you won't even know why it's plateauing during labor. But after the baby's born, you realize, ah, this is probably why. This is the fourth group, and my favorite category is that some midwives in my study entertained the idea of whether women might be able to somewhat control the pauses in their labor, not super consciously, but maybe like subconsciously. And these are stories like women going into labor and laboring beautifully, but then it slows down and they say things, things like, I want to really put that car seat in the car. If the car seat is not in there, I can't really, you know, we're not ready for the baby. And really funny things like that, highly specific. And then the midwife, you know, puts the car seat into the car with the partner and suddenly labor resumes naturally. So really specific things like that, depending on whether it's the right time to birth for the women, the right environment, and whether the right people are around or missing.
And I think many of us can tell stories about at times when we've seen that. I certainly can. I remember one woman who had actually, her waters had broken early and it was niggling. And I remember it was something like her fifth baby. And it was a little bit of a surprise package, this little chicken. And the baby had obviously pushed the button, but mama still wasn't quite ready. And she kept saying that to me. She kept saying, I know I can do this, Karen. I know I can do this. I've just got to get my head around the fact that I'm going to have another baby. And I remember in the end saying to her, as I'd worked with her all day, going, you know, it's your baby needs you to get your head around it, so you really need to get your head around it. And eventually she actually did, and I remember putting her, sort of suggesting that she hop in a shower, and I made it really dark and I just left her alone for a while, and then I came back. I'll never forget, she had a pink shower cap on and she poked her head out and she said to me, that's it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to welcome this baby. I can't wait. And this was about 3-ish in the afternoon because I was going off shift, and which I was really disappointed about because I wanted to be there for the birth. Anyway, and she said, you know what? I reckon I'll have this baby by 6:30. So I couldn't help myself. I had to ring in at about 8 o'clock that night. And she had. She had a baby at like 25 to 7 or something like that. Like she just, yes. She just let go. And it's that beautiful word that I love to use, Marina, that word surrender. You know, you've got to let go. You've just got to surrender, but you've got to be ready for that, don't you, to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And if we miss something, if something is really lacking, for example, a lot of women who have, for example, FIFO partners or who are flying in and out and not currently there, you know, they will be waiting, or they might be waiting for the midwife until she's available and back from whatever trip she's on, and then it will start or resume.
It does, doesn't it? And you get those partners who are the FIFO partners and are really nervous about not being there. And you can often reassure them saying, you know, the chances are that your partner's not going to go into labor because you're part of her nest and you're not there yet. So she won't surrender till you get there. So it's a really interesting thing how women really can influence the way their labor ebbs and flows. Now, with your research, you did your research through looking and interviewing midwives, and I guess their ideas and opinions and philosophies around these pauses. What emerged out of that research? What did you find?
So the type of research I did is so-called grounded theory. So it's a type of research that allows you to generate new theory about something. And the theory that we derived from that data is basically that there's two different philosophies. Well, there's a lot of different philosophies around childbirth, but on that spectrum of philosophies, there's like two ends to it. And on the one end is what our research participants called more holistic midwifery philosophy. So imagine that is someone who is trusting birth, trusting women that they can birth and that they're built for that process. And that birth is highly individual. Every birth is different. Every woman is different. And those people are really confident with a degree of uncertainty. So if they don't know when the baby will be born or how it's going to play out, that's perfectly fine with them. And these people with that type of holistic midwifery philosophy, they're really chill when it comes to pauses during labor. You know, they just go with the rhythm of the labor and they're really supporting the woman, being really woman-centered in that process. So when we have people working from that philosophy, this is where we see women having pauses during labor, even repeatedly, even long pauses, and nothing being interpreted into these pauses that isn't really correct. And then on the other side of that philosophical spectrum, We have pretty much the opposite. So imagine someone who is feeling a bit scared of birth, feeling like birth is not really working well, that women can't really do the job, that there's usually a lot of problems. Also feeling that birth should be exactly the same pattern for every woman around the globe, like the same rough duration. And these are also people who feel safe when they have a sense of security. So for example, being able to say this birth is going to be finished in 4 hours, no matter what. So from this perspective, these people have a tendency to try and control the labor pattern. So that will be things like when labor slows down, we will want to give medications to speed it up, or medications to control how quick it is, or even do a cesarean section to get a baby out if we feel like the time that we are assigning to your labor is exhausted. So those two extreme ends of the spectrum, and then just imagine everyone who's having to do with labor, whether that's midwives or obstetricians or lay birth attendants like doulas, but even also women, their partners, their friends and families. Everyone is having this type of philosophy inside of them, whether they are aware of it or not. We have some sort of belief sets. So we're sitting somewhere on this spectrum, and it depends a lot on what we've seen in the past, what we've learned if we're a health professional, and also our exposure to natural birth. Like, how often have we actually seen natural birth in all its beautiful diversity? Because often you'd be surprised how even midwives and doctors don't see it too often if we work in highly medicalized environments. So it depends on that, and people have those different philosophies, and these philosophies influence how we interpret those pauses during labor.
That's right. And this is something that I guess is what your aim is with your research to really examine, isn't it? Because we don't want to be intervening on something if it's normal. You know, that whole philosophy, if it's not broke, don't fix it. sort of thing. And it's kind of like then working out, well, what is normal and what is starting to move outside of the realm of normal. So what sort of ideas did you get around that, Marina? What's sort of emerging perhaps in the research and the literature, and maybe even in the conversations and interviews that you had in your research?
There's probably two things I would mention in this place. One is these natural pauses exist. And this is maybe obvious, but it's worth mentioning because natural pauses are not mentioned in midwifery or obstetric textbooks at the moment. So it's not some common knowledge that we include in our trainings regularly. But I think we need to be very clear that these pauses exist, and midwives have been talking about these for, you know, and obstetricians have been talking about these for decades and decades. We have really historical data that shows us it has been common knowledge at some point, but it just got lost. So we need to reestablish it. So that's the one thing. We need to really get that message out again, that natural pauses are normal and that we don't need to intervene. And the other thing is, I think it's really powerful to look at the different philosophies, because maybe people think, oh, philosophy, that's not something real, tangible. Why is it worth looking at? But in the past, when we looked in research, we always looked at different birth settings, for example, home birth versus hospital or midwife versus doctor. None of that has really helped us to change anything in practice, because it requires huge structural changes to our maternity care system. Like, a lot of women go to birth in hospital, and a very small proportion of women birth in out of hospital settings. So what this look at philosophy is trying to achieve is things like training programs for people, no matter where they work, in which birth settings, and no matter what professional background they have, to achieve this philosophy that really helps us look at labor more woman-centeredly and more from this perspective that pauses are normal and healthy.
Absolutely. I agree. And did you find that with one philosophy over another, there was a distinction in the outcomes of women and babies? You know, like, by acknowledging these pauses, there's better outcomes, or what have you kind of found?
But I have to say, before I answer that question, the type of research that I did, it's not designed to quantify, to really count how many women have this outcome and have another outcome. We're doing this study right now. It's a different study, but the previous study I did was designed to show tendencies. So we have tendencies that when midwives or obstetricians accept pauses as being natural, so working from this holistic midwifery philosophy, that women, you know, they aren't interrupted, they aren't rushed through labor, and then these women go on and have beautiful birth outcomes, and also feeling very positive and empowered when they look back at their birth. And this is equally important to the health outcomes of mom and baby, how you feel about it. You're never going to forget it throughout your entire life. And we also saw that if people are really afraid about the labor pattern or whether women can do it or not, so this medicalized philosophy, then we see a tendency of birth outcomes that are more interventional. So to speak, like speeding up labor or cesarean sections.
I guess then we need to kind of look at then when we're talking about these these pauses of labour? Because there are times when pauses do occur when things have moved outside of normal, Marina. So how do we differentiate between those? Like, what are we looking for in that space to help us decide, and most importantly, the woman and birthing person decide whether or not this is still normal and something to be just sitting and waiting and making the most of, or when we actually need to perhaps act and do something about it?
That's really important. So there is a birth complication, so-called labor dystocia, that happens very rarely, but it is a real complication that can happen. So it's good to have that in the back of the mind. That can be things like the baby is in a certain position that it can't be born naturally or vaginally. So the difference between natural pauses and this so-called labor dystocia can be visible in looking at the woman and seeing if there's anything pathological. So pathological meaning abnormal, unhealthy. And that can be things like fever or feeling excruciating pain, feeling that something is stuck. Sometimes women tell us it doesn't feel right, and we really take that seriously as midwives. And for the baby, that can be different signs as well. So for the baby, warning signs could be things like the heart rate is changing, or maybe the baby is doing a poo into the water. So then we have a change of the color of the amniotic fluid of the water around the baby that we sometimes see when the waters are already broken. Things like that can show us that it's not going in a healthy way, not going in a physiological way, and probably not a healthy pause. But my recommendation probably to a woman would be, when labor pauses, not to think about that at all or too much. You know, you have your midwife there who's doing all the thinking. So if you are in labor, try to really switch off that higher order thinking part of your brain and let go and go with the rhythm. And if you have a pause, just welcome it, thinking that it's probably a really good reason why it's there. And your midwife will be sitting there doing the hard work, trying to figure out whether there's a reason that we need to remedy, like maybe there's somebody in the room who's not having a good influence, or whether there's a reason that we don't need to remedy. We just wait and, you know, let the woman sleep and have some quietude.
Absolutely. And even if it's a physiological pause, which is where everything is going to plan, or whether it is a pause that's occurring because something's not quite going to plan, those pauses are incredibly important for that mum and that baby to make the most of. Because particularly if perhaps there's something going on in the baby, we want that baby resting. We don't want that uterus contracting and stressing it out even more. So I think our body is enormously remarkable and wonderful in that it will do what it needs to do when everything is normal, and it will also do everything that it needs to do when it's not, and will show signs when it is actually time to step in. So I guess that kind of brings us to really our kind of our last point here, Marina, is what advice do you have to birthing mamas and people and their partners in particular? Because often the partners become the advocate in the room around these pauses, and perhaps when things are being offered to them to maybe encourage labor to get a bit more oomph back or to speed up again, for them to be able to navigate whether or not this is physiological and normal, or whether or not there is an action to be taken.
Yes, I think my advice to both partners, whoever's there, whether it's friends or partners or family members, would be to, you know, you are in this incredibly important position. You're doing the most incredibly important job, and is to first trust the process that is happening with the woman's body. You know, don't question it. Don't go in and say, oh, look, things have slowed down. You think we need to do something around it. You know, just trust that if there's a pause, it's probably normal. And try to shield her and make sure that the woman feels safe and secure. That's the only two things, feeling safe and secure. If we can achieve that for the woman in labor, then we're really doing the most important thing we can do, because when women feel safe and secure, then the labor will play out beautifully usually. So, and for the woman, I would say if you encounter a pause during labor, even if you feel like there's not a pause, but your labor is going slower than you anticipated, or taking longer than you thought, then really try to enjoy, if at all possible, when it's slow, because those breaks can be beautiful. You know, those are moments where you can sing and dance and make noises, or be have just an intimate quiet time with your partner, or just really sleep a little, take a nap, have a snack, have a drink. So try to really enjoy that break. It will ramp up again. It will become intense again. So just recover, take energy, and go with the ebbs and flows of your labor.
And we really need to normalize those longer labors too, don't we, Marina? Because there is a real culture around, you know, people will say, oh my God, my friend had a 3-day labor and all of that. That's actually really normal, particularly for first-time mamas. There's nothing in the abnormal, and it's not like she had, in most cases, a full-on 3 day labor. If a woman has a full-on 3-day labor, we're questioning why. But if she's got a 3-day labor that's ebbing and flowing and, you know, increases then decreases with those pauses and increases and decreases again, that's a really normal, healthy labor.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny how as a society we seem to value fast. When something is done fast, we seem to think, oh, that's good, but it's not necessarily good. And in terms of labor, it's so weird as well because we can't really put a finger on the point when labor starts. It's impossible to say when exactly did it start. So even when we say a labor was 3 hours or 15 hours or 3 days, you know, we can't really say that. It's really hard to define. It's just a fluency between being pregnant and then being in labor and having pauses. So yes, definitely don't feel like your labor needs to be spot on or really fast or anything like that. It usually takes much, 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 much longer than we anticipated.
That's right. Even experts are still hesitant to define what the length of labor is normal. We know World Health Organization Absolutely. Won't put a time frame on early labor because they say, you know, the time is so vast. There's so much going on in that preparation. And not only does mama have to be ready, but baby has to be ready too and got to find their space and move and be ready for it too. So it's two people working really, really closely together here and the chemistry's got to come together and meet for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are numbers around, like women who are pregnant, they will be exposed to hearing numbers of how long labor should be, like 12 hours, 18 hours, whatever hours. But it's good to think that these numbers, you know, sometimes we define the beginning of labor when a woman goes to hospital. So the moment she arrives, that's the beginning of labor. It makes no sense at all. And then you look at 500,000 of women and define their labor took this and that long. So just don't trust these numbers too much because really the data we're having and the research we're doing on these numbers isn't really reliable. So yeah, absolutely. Mom and the baby are very closely connected on so many levels with the body, with the mind, spirituality. It needs to link and it needs to work for both of them and it needs to be the right place, the right time and the right people around for labor to work.
Absolutely. And then that woman and the caregivers and support team doing everything to maintain that normality. So even little things like resting when she needs to, making sure her headspace is in the right space, making sure she's got people around her where she is feeling safe. Her hydration, you mentioned that a little bit earlier, that, you know, in anything in life, if particularly when we're doing something physical as what you do in birth, if your body's dehydrated and hadn't got no fuel, it's going to pause and not going to take you into labor because it knows that it doesn't have the resources that it needs for that. So doing little things like making sure they're well hydrated, making sure they're fueled up, making sure they're well rested, making sure their headspace is where it needs to be and they can surrender and feel safe in that space is really important and a very big part of that preparation for labor and birth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think emotionally as well, it's so important, often underestimated. I think some women feel like there's this pressure on that they need to be in the zone or let go or something. And they wonder, how can I do it? Well, I think it's just realizing that through labor, you usually go through all the different emotions, you know, all the emotions you can have. You can have anger, you can have fear, you can be sad, you can be elated and really happy. So all the emotions, they will probably come and rise up during some point during labor and just let them flood you. And sometimes that's just what the body needs, to let go and to have an hour where just tears are coming and these tears will help to go through a certain phase of labor. So just go with the emotions that you're feeling and don't feel like any emotion is wrong or worse or better than the other. It's just part of the big package.
Absolutely. It's a transformative experience. It's where a woman is turning into a mother, a person's turning into a parent. It's very much that transformative experience. And in order for that to happen, you need to be challenged. You need to go through those emotions. You need to almost, as Hannah Dahlen says, crack open so that you can be reborn in that moment. And I always talk about labor as, you know, it's there to show you your power and to show you your capabilities. And it's not stronger than you, as that saying goes, because it is you. And that ultimate trust, no matter how long or short or in the middle between all of that it is, it's your unique labor with this beautiful baby. And it's unfolding exactly as it's meant to when we trust it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's in some way, you know, you can prepare in a lot of ways for labor, but in some way you can't prepare at all. Because even if it's like, especially when it's your first labor, you don't know what's coming. You don't know how it's going to be. Your partner doesn't know. So it's going to be new and overwhelming, and it's going to be a really big experience, one of the biggest experiences in your life that you're going to remember. So yes, try and enjoy as much much as possible because it can be quite beautiful.
Absolutely. I agree, definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to me today. Anything else that you want to say just to close off on this, Marina?
I think just one thing, because this is so new, well, it's not new at all, the idea of natural pauses in labour, but it's new in a way that we're trying to reclaim it and bring back the knowledge. I think I'll just ask people who are listening to this podcast to just share this knowledge with other people around them, with friends and family members, just make it more widely available and widely known so people are aware that this is normal and this is nothing to be concerned about.
Absolutely. We have to change that dialogue, don't we, around birth. And it's the stories that we listen to. They're the most powerful things. That's what's laying down our belief systems around birth. And if we can change that idea that birth has to be controlled and should be within this certain time frame, otherwise it's abnormal, then we can make an enormous difference to not just the physical outcomes, but I actually think the emotional outcomes, even more so with that sense of achievement for women.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it can really shift the whole thing globally, really, for women and the babies and the family. So this is really, really important and really big.
I agree, totally. And I'm so excited. I'm really looking forward to seeing the results of continuing research that you're doing, where one of them, which is with something that I'm really interested in, is you're listening to women. You're interviewing women and getting their experiences of these pauses and their take on those pauses, which I think is really important to be hearing their voice, because often this is one thing that gets missed in the research. What's the second study you're doing?
So it's two studies. One of them, we're currently collecting data. We're asking women about their experience. This one is a survey, so women just write to us. And the other study is asking women, that's the one with the interviews, is looking at women's experience during labour. So it's a prospective cohort study. So we look at a big group of women in Australia and overseas, and we just measure how often are those pauses happening, what do women think about it, what do their midwives think about it, and what are the outcomes for mum and baby after birth. So we need this data to actually change the discourse in terms of having influence on policies and guidelines on a national level. So that's the type of data that we need. And the other type of data, women's experience, is the type of data that we really need to improve practice. You know, we need to listen to women to see what they want, what helps them, what doesn't help them.
And that's really exciting, really, really exciting. And we do need to change the way that we see things, because we're starting to see things in a way that they should be. So that's fantastic. Excellent, Marina. Well, thanks for everything and all that you're doing in this space, and stay tuned. You never know, we might get you back on when you release the next lot of research to see where you're up to from there.
Thank you so much, Karen, for the possibility to be with you here today. Good wishes out to all the listeners, wishing you a beautiful journey to wherever you are in your journey of pregnancy, birth, and after.
Thanks, Marina. So if you want to find out more about Marina's work, you can go to the links below. And if you want to learn more about how to work with your labour physically and emotionally, come and join us at one of our Calm Birth courses.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Calm Birth Conversation podcast with Karen McClay. Subscribe to the podcast to be informed and inspired, and keep up to date as new episodes are released. We would love for you to help spread the Calm Birth love by sharing with your friends and tagging us with @CalmBirth on social media. If you are wanting to learn more about our Calm Birth courses and to find a Calm Birth course near you, simply head to our website, calmbirth.com.au. This podcast was proudly brought to you by Calm Birth, Australia's leading childbirth education program.